I'm going to try to finish the Perek now. On Perek Gimel, Sif Ches, page Chav Beis. B'chachmas v'yidiyas ha'oilam v'metziyas ha'mulchash. With the chachmas that are the chachmas of knowing this world. B'chachmas v'yidiyas ha'oilam. When it comes to all of the chachmas that man has at his fingertips to understand the mitzias hamuchas, meaning tangible reality, the world. Hinin the roim, using these chachmas, using these yediyas of how to study the world, of how to look at the world. We're able to see, hin in the Rayim, Shenochen Leimar, that together, Shenochen Leimar, in together with what we just said in davening a few minutes ago, and we say every day, Ma Godlu Masecha Hashem. When we look at the world, and we look at the greatness and the vastness of the world, and the more kelim we have now to see the world and to study the universe, and the greater the chachmas and the greater the yediyas, the more knowledge we have about how great the world is. But together with saying Ma Godlu Ma'aseh Hashem, how Godlu means how big, how vast, how huge, my God, the Masach Hashem. Person goes and stands by to look at the ocean, see the ocean, my God, the Masach Hashem. And the more a person understands, my God, the Masach Hashem, what's inside the ocean, and what a world this is, and what a little bit about the universe, Ein Sof. But if that's all that the world says to you, then you're missing something very, very important. That's what Rav Kook is explaining. If that's all the world says to you, Ma Godlu Ma'aseh Hashem, if that's all that impresses you, is the vastness, the bigness of the universe, of the world, then you're missing. You're missing the point. That's good, but you're missing the point. Shenochen Leimer says that the more you understand, the more chachmas, the more you realize that there's a Rabbanu Shleilam, then you know Shenochen Leimer Ima Galu Maseh Hashem Gam Kein Beroiv Hishtoimus, to say also with great hishtoimus, astonishment, with a feeling of astonishment, Ma Kotnu Maaseh Hashem, how tiny, how small are your actions. What does that mean? We've spoken about this before. I've mentioned over the years a few times. Makot Masech Hashem doesn't say that any place in davening. Makot Masech Hashem says in davening, Magod Masech Hashem. So what's the meaning of Makot Masech Hashem? What does that mean? How tiny are your actions? So what does that mean? So let's see a little bit further what Rav Kook explains. How great, how vast, big, we understand. Makotnu Maaseh Hashem. He says a person should be, in certain ways, even more astonished by the tininess of Hashem's actions. What does that mean? Kleimer, he explains. Keshayim she'hinenu mismal en pele al godel hama'ayris. The same way that we're filled with wonder when thinking about, when looking at the greatness of the Ma'iris, the sun, the moon, the stars. Ma'iris means the luminaries, the lights. When we look at that, we're mismalim pelabi, filled with wonder. Al ha-merchavim ha-gedoylam, on the merchavim ha-gedoylam that Hashem Baruch made such expansive, great, big things that Hashem's Baruch created in the world. And here's something I remember when we were kids, and they were telling us what, how long it would take to travel, you know, how long it would take to travel to this planet or something, to go somewhere. So the musagim that we heard, you know, you hear how many light years away something is. So Hashem Shemach made such a place that light years and how long it would take. But if you, I don't remember any of the numbers, but, you know, to get to, maybe now they have faster things, but to get, how long it would take to get to, Christ, to Jupiter or someplace, even if you'd be in a rocket that would go, Yamin V'layla, L'Yishbaisu, and you'd keep on going, and you go, and you go, you can't even measure it on a calendar, how long, and lifetimes, and traveling, and what it means, going, the speed of light, and if you go so fast, and all these things. Person, the more, that's what he began by saying, the more a person knows, the more chachmas, the more yediyas, the more a person is astonished by the magod l'masach Hashem, by the vastness, by the size of the universe and everything, how. So when a person says k'shem shehinu mismalim pela agor l'ma'iris, and a person is filled with wonder by the greatness of the ma'iris of the sun and the stars, that they're much bigger, you know. So our musig of the sun, and the sun is a kleinikai, but the sun, and they have, it's a pell, it's a wonder. It's not even something that if you think about, you can go out of your kelim thinking about it. The merchav mahagadolim. Hamaleim koichvei shachak nifloim. Filled with shining, wondrous stars. Vakoiches hativim ha'adirim. And the natural, powerful koiches that are in the world. Look what happened this past week. What's going on? I don't know if there are people still hanging out in the airports, and you know, I don't know what's going on. It was like the Baruch Shalom went like that. Not even you know, the whole world is, nah, it's Rahman, it's billions of dollars, and you know, it's not yet like these. The airlines want to charge you for carrying your suitcase. That already is a foul for taking your carry-on bag. And they had in the Hamadiyah, in the cartoon, that some, not from the Hamadiyah, that they took from a newspaper, some syndicated cartoon, where they have that there's an airplane that lands, and there's a big something going on. There's like an attack, and there are ambulances and police coming, everything, and they have to go down those chutes. You know, they always show you in a little movie. You have to go down an emergency to go down from the plane, and there's a lady standing by, and the people are sliding down, and each person that comes and says, that's $10. Like, you know, sorry, you know, it's expensive over here. Today. So now they're going to have a much bigger, you know, they're going to have for sure everything now because of. But all it was, all these people with jobs, no one being able to get the chasanas and all kinds of things, and who knows how many parshis would people have because of this one Indian. There's some place, I can't even pronounce the name. Did you read the name of that place? I don't know how you can make a word. It's got like 1,000 letters in it, and I don't know how they go together, those letters. And there's some place in Iceland that nobody ever that like they say by Jews that could, that you don't even think that other Marishim made an Asher Yotzer in such a place. You know what I'm saying? And in that place in Iceland somewhere, what's going on? And even in Iceland, it's like a remote place. And over there, the Baruch Shalom says, give a kick. I just want to show you something. Over there, in Paris, you're sitting over there with your little pinkies up, and you're sipping your coffee. Watch this. The Baruch Shalom goes, and the whole world is like, and he's not finished yet, the Baruch Shalom, this. You know that this, I read in the newspaper that this volcano has a shochen, you know that. It has only 12 miles away, which by mountains, that's nothing. It's 12 miles away, he has a shochen that's like twice as big as him, and is cooking. Because what happens is that when this one starts to get, this one gets stirred, Then the other one says, "What do you think? I'm not also. I don't have any kaiches. I also have something I want to say." So the whole world. So this, the last time this happened was like, you know, in the 1800s, whatever, 1907. And after a minute, you know, it's a little in the air. Some places dark, so there weren't airplanes flying around and all different things.
Right.
So, but now it's so this the bigger one that's next to that one that exploded. The bigger one was already due in the 1960s. To give a greps. It was in the 1960s. It was already due. So now that all the scientists are saying, because since the little one went off, that has a way, because they're connected under the ground somehow. I'm sorry for getting so technical. So they connect under the ground. So that little one, is Ma'ira the big one. And now the scientists are looking out to see what's going to be over here. With this one, because if this does that, so then is you know, kibson ha'ish mamish, like you see by the makis, you see how it was, you see by stomen amayim, picha kibson, that a little dust, and then all the airplanes, nobody can go anywhere, and all these big knackers with their business deals and all the things they're stuck, they can't do anything. Person stops and thinks, that's nothing. Yeshua b'shamayim yisrach mamish, it's nothing. What's going to be when Mashiach comes to see? Because Baruch Hu, how could the world change all of a sudden? And you can't imagine, how could it be all of a sudden that the world is going to be so different? How could the world be so different? In one second, how could the world be? From this, just a little, I'm just going to give you a little bit, just a sample. Just a little bit of a sample. And just about things like that. A little bit of a sample, a little schmutz like this could make. Didn't bother any villages or towns, I don't think. I don't think anybody got hurt. Mm-hmm. And a little bit like this, just, and then the whole world is tumulting over this. Mm-hmm. Just going to make billions of dollars. A person thinks the koiches hativim ha'adirim. A person thinks the koiches hativim, the koiches that Hashem made in the world. Unbelievable koiches. It said about this, it said that this, the big mountain next to it, where it would come out from to explode, it has to get through, I think it said 300 meters or something, I don't remember the number, of ice. In other words, the thickest ice like I could think of is when like, you know, the soda was left in the freezer, you know what I'm saying? And here you have, and then you have to knock it or something. Here you have miles of ice. And so there's no way that this thing could get through that kind of ice. It can't explode. And then the Baruch Hu says, it can't go through this ice. No, it can't go through that ice. It's miles of ice, mamish miles of ice. And then like the cork comes, he just pops it off like Yaakov Avinu. When he came over there to the Be'er, just took it off like that. Just the Baruch Shalom, like that. The Koich Sativim, and then it has such a power to it. You know, the whole thing of a volcano, how that works. It's Koich Sativim Adir. So we're all misbehaving that. A person should think about that. And when a person thinks about that, you can't help but being filled with the awe of Ma God l'maseh Hashem. But Rav Kook is saying, but that's only half of the picture. Not even the same way that that's something that brings you to his iris of Ma God l'maseh Hashem. He says, "Kain." He says, "Hinu mispalim mistaklu seinu la'oymek hayitzir bekatnusa." We are in wonder when we look at the depths of creation in all of its tininess. In all of its smallness, how tiny creation is. Meaning what? Biprote ha'evarim shabalechaim ha'yosek tamim. And this was at Rav Kook's time, when you see tiny little creatures in the world. You see these little balechaim, whatever, insects, little things. And then already with the microscope, they had the Rav Kook too, but now what they could see, molecules, things in there, whatever. They're able to have these special microscopes they could see, and how unbelievably complicated that that in every tiny little drop of creation, there's mamish oilemus. If you look at it under a microscope, it's oilemus. If you look at a piece of skin, a little piece of skin, you put it under a microscope, oilemus, mamish. Do you remember when we were kids, I once mentioned it, that was in the 60s, there was a movie called Fantastic Voyage, when we were kids. It was about somebody that there was something inside a person's body that had to save the guy's life or something. So these scientists, there was science fiction, to shrink themselves, they got very, very tiny, tiny, and they went inside the body. And they had to go through the body, like to get to this machlin to help. And so what really was, it was a trip in the body, and it's the human body. It was very interesting because, you know, the different parts of the body, it became like places, and it's mamish oilemus inside of a person. Oilemus. What's going on? And Rav Kook is saying that it's not enough to think about magadlu, but you have to think about makotnu. Befrote, all the prote evarim, all the tiny little limbs, shall balechaim of creatures, hayoisek tanim, that are very, very, very small. The dakus achamorim, and how dak, meaning how fine the dakus achamorim, chomer, physical matter can reach such levels of refinement, being so tiny and yet so perfectly shaped and the dakus achamorim, the daikonus hakoiches, and the daikonus of all the koiches of everything the Baruch Shalom has made is so in the tiniest things perfectly coordinated. Perfectly coordinated and measured and everything exactly dake dakus the dakus of Hamar v'daykonus akoyches shebemekaymus ayoyser v'chaykim from the furthest away places, anywhere in the world, anywhere in the universe, where you look, where you take a second and you stop, and you look at what that thing is. And you go into the pnimis, and the pnimis in gashmias, not in ruchnias, in the gashmias. Va'al yedei ha'yediyah ha'shleima shel shnei ha'ktzavos. Only when a person has yediyah shleima, a deep knowledge, an understanding of these two extremes. Va'yedei ha'yediyah ha'shleima shel shnei ha'ktzavos. By knowing in a deep way these two extremes, shel hagodol v'hakaitan, of bigness and smallness, of greatness and tininess. Only when a person really understands this and thinks about this, knows this and thinks about this, then yismalei tzir hametzias b'libo shel adam. Then can there be a true picture, a true image of reality in the heart of a person? So why is Rav Kook saying this in Eiris HaTorah? And why is it, as he begins to come to a conclusion of our parak? So this is all that we've been learning. V'chein hu gam b'Torah. And so it is with Torah. When a person learns Torah, there are big, big, big things, and there are tiny little things. There are some people who all they like to look at are the big things. There are other people who all they ever spend their time being Isaac in are the, what appear to be, the tiny little things. Neither of these individuals get the whole picture. What Rav Kook is saying is the whole picture is only when a person takes hold of the two ktsavos, of the two ends, of the goydel and the koytan, of the bigness and the smallness. The bigness of Torah, which we could be talking a lot about, Sisrei Torah, Kabbalah, the universe, meaning not the physical universe, the infinite light of Hashem, the spheres, and everything else. And then the prate, 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 the tiny, tiny, what appear to be the tiny little details of what Yiddishkeit is, and halacha, and learning Shas and Poiskim. The bigger picture that comes through learning the mysteries of Torah. That's my Godlum HaSeh HaShem. To have a feeling of a taste of the infinite light of Hashem, it's my God l'masach Hashem. And when that person who is inspired by my God l'masach Hashem, when he turns his attention to the billion details of halacha, of learning, of Tanakh, and Shas, and Poskim, and so on, when he turns his eyes to all the tiny details, he's equally astonished by Makot B'Masach Hashem, by the Koytan. But there isn't an atomic particle of reality, of life that the Torah doesn't speak of, that the Torah doesn't worry about, that the Torah doesn't enter into. There isn't an atom in the universe that the Torah doesn't enter into. Kain hu gam ba'Torah. Klolus ha'asogis el yoyin ha'shavah. We're talking about the Torah de la'ila, the Torah above. Echad, Hashem Echad. The vastness, the bigness, the greatness. Klolus ha'asogis el yoyin is the overall perception of these great, great concepts of Yiddishkeit, of Torah. B'deis HaKlolius, with the general all-encompassing big deis, meaning ideas, and U'ba'archis HaTzedek HaYoinim, and the great pathways of righteousness, of morality, of goodness, of kindness, these are all big general things that even people who are not from, even people who are not Shomer Mitzvahs, are impressed from the little that they know by the bigness, by the greatness of what the Torah is saying, that they have just a general, very general idea. I mean, what the Bible is in the world, and what it opened up in the world, in the people's hearts and people's minds, to something much, 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 much bigger than anything they ever thought about. And the whole sense of there being something bigger, and as a result of that, a feeling of moral responsibility, that it's a natural teva of a human being to want to be good, to be Isaac in good things. And I had to go. Lo Lento Shiv yesterday, and I was driving, and I heard that it was Earth Day. I heard on the news it was Earth Day. Did you know that? I hope you didn't miss it. You could have maybe a Yom Tov Shiny today. It was Earth Day yesterday. So of course, I don't know what that means, and I'm not particularly interested in what it means. I just want to know if there was ultimate side of the street parking. That's why I was trying to find out. And I don't know. I asked somebody over there. I was in Brooklyn. I asked him, what's going on? He says, what is it? I said, it's Earth Day. So he says, so what? I said, well, can you park? Do you know anything about them? He says, I don't know. I asked a policeman over there. Then I started giving tickets. I said, I guess that Earth Day didn't make it. So, yeah, it's not, didn't rank enough to, I guess if our president will stay long enough in office that we'll have Maybe some benefit like that will come out from the administration, that we will have open inside the streets regulations suspended on Earth Day. What does Bechlal mean, Earth Day? So I don't know what that's about. I'm sure they had Earth Day observances all over the world. I don't know what they did. There was something. I guess that the Earth, a feeling that the Earth is a place that we should take care of. I guess the people who are, all those people that are very, very worried about global warming, that's probably a big yontif for them. Although no one's heard from the former vice president in a long time. Guess he's gone someplace warmer to stay. No one knows what happened to the guy. So, but this whole concern, the whole inyan of a person thinking beyond his Dalet Amos. In the old world, nobody had anything except his Dalet Amos. Yeah, you had your Dalet Amos. That's it. That's how life was. You had your Dalet Amos. A hergish for the bigger picture, and the longing to connect to something much bigger, whatever that Earth Day, however it comes down into the kalim of this world, that's all because of the Torah. That a person should want to improve his life, to be better. These big, general, broad, undefined, unclear klolim in creation. Baruch Hashem Tzadik Al Yoyin Vachochmas Aruchonius Analois Chochmas Ruchonius Dike Chochmas. All of these Heimarim La'odom Oilam Mole Shel Gedul, of course, in Limud HaTorah and learning Kabbalah, learning Pnimius HaTorah, and about how creation, what creation is, what the universe, how it works. What is the universe? What's a human being? These are the biggest chachmas and Torah talks. This all comes from Torah. Heimarim La'odom Oilam Mole Shel Gedul. All of these chachmas, when you learn these, they show you a world that's filled with greatness. A world that's filled with greatness. That when you look at a person that's not just a piece of flesh and blood, what a human being is, and the kreches hanefesh, and that this person is himself, carries within him Chelik Elokim Yimal, carries Elokus within him, and the ten spheres are all working within this person's every step and every second of his life. It's a very big thing. Shemusogim Koilulim, Shem Kikoich Veshachai. These all encompassing big things in Torah and in Yiddishkeit and Ruchnius, they're like stars, Kikoich Veshachai, like the stars, like the constellations. But that again, that's not all there is. And if that's all that you're interested in or connected to, God forbid, missing the point. And there are many, many people that have these big, big ideas, and that connect very, very deeply to the vastness and the greatness of the universe and of Yiddishkeit and of the Ribono Shel Olam, and they end up in Gehenna. Gehenna is also a big place, you know. It's also got a lot of rooms. They end up in Gehenna. Except there, they're not so impressed, you know, they're just upset. How do they end up in Gehenna? I'm such a spiritual person. This is such a spiritual person. He's so connected to Earth Day. And he's so connected to God. And he's so connected to the morals and the ethical, that they call the Judeo-Christian tradition. And he's such a big person. You talk to the person, he tells you in 30 seconds, you know how much I love you. Yeah. And he's very spiritual, very ruchnistic. And only this one problem. He's not into mukta. Like that doesn't do it for him, right? Doesn't do it for him. When it comes to the pratim of Yiddishkeit, he's not interested in learning Hilchos Shabbos. You have this big ruchnius, his big ruchni is like a gathering of Shabbaton, and the men and women are sitting together, holding each other on the shoulders, saying, Kumbaya, my Lord, Kumbaya. And they're very, very, very big, they're talking about, and there's some rabbi standing over there, dashing, or somebody, and he's talking about God and the universe and love of all men, and he's talking about Kedusha, about holy, 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 all these things. And they're all there sitting, holding hands. That's not it. Aval davke mitzad ha-hisroimimus ha-zois. Davke from this awareness, this hisroimimus that brings a person to a feeling of exaltedness. Wow. My God, l'masach. And then with Torah, not just the physical world. That's only a marshal of Torah. So persons, sister of Torah, secrets of Torah. Davka from there, sure, you get inspired, sure, you get excited. Yeah, there's a big, the Torah, these deep, amazing things going on in Torah. Someone shows you these codes that they, you know, all these different things, and how, wow, it's unbelievable. Every 50th letter in the Torah says this, and they have all hinted at everything's in the Torah, it's unbelievable. And there's a feeling of Yisroimimus, of exaltedness, of excitement. But davke, aval davke mitzad Yisroimimus, as I tzorcha odem lodem, from there davke person should, has to, lodem means to understand, to judge, to think. Shekishem sheyimtze v'chush godol b'klolam ha'gdolam, that the same way that you discover Ruchush Gadol, it's just borrowing like from Yitzchus and Simon, Ruchush Gadol, tremendous wealth. The same way that there's an unbelievable wealth that you've discovered, B'klolam HaGadolam, by studying and by thinking about in the physical world, the big things, and in Torah, the big picture. Kain Yimsa, Gam Kain, Tilei Tilim Shel Hamoin Chadoshes and the Tzoris HaKol Kites V'Kites. Like the Mordechai says in Menachos, so too, when you descend into the details of Yiddishkeit, of Torah, of Halacha, you will discover this person who will do that. The same God that made that bigness is the same God that's to be found in the smallness of every kites, of every that like the Gemara says, that in every single crown that comes from a letter, every kites that comes from all letters of the Torah, that's in the Sefer, every little spitzel, everything that comes from a letter, Tilei Tilim, like Rabbi Kiva was darshening. Rabbi Kiva was darshening Tilei Tilim Shel Halachos. From Shir Shim, we were talking about this morning. From that feeling of Shir Shim, Rabbi Kiva said in Shir Shim. From that Shir Shim, the Rabbi Kiva who used to cry when he said Shir Shim Friday, before Shabbos, before Kabbal Shabbos, that Rabbi Kiva was able to learn out Tilei Tilim, big piles and mountains of halachas from every tiny little crown of Torah, from every tiny little detail of Torah. Tilei tilim shel hamayin chadoshes, with new things, hamayin, multitude of chidushim in Torah that come out. I'll call kites for kites, b'chol prote prote hashal Torah, with every single detail that come out from every single detail of Torah. You see in all these new age Yiddishkeit. I'm not talking about Geisha books, then these new age Jewish books from these coming out from this whole school of I don't want to say the name of the seed, but it's from a certain year that really started it and got it going. But this new age Yiddishkeit, and you read, which I've read some of the books to try to understand. You can go either in the bookstore or online, and they have all of these different authors, men and women, who have written books about Kabbalah, about Judaism. They have all kinds of very, very general titles that sound very inspiring. And since over the years I was busy with a lot of people that got into these things, and I wanted to understand what is it in these things. So years ago I read some of these books. I read some of them. I don't know if any of you have had the same misfortune, but I've read some of them, and I even the ones that were not filled with all kinds of distortions and apocryphals, because most of them are filled with all kinds of mistakes and distortions. People that don't know how to read the Svarim, and they have their footnotes, you know, from the Zohar. He doesn't know how to spell Zohar. He never read a Hebrew word in his life. And have footnotes because they read in some English thing this third Kaili from the Zohar, you understand. It's not just that. It's all, I guess, the word that they use nowadays, fluff. You know what that means? That they use the word fluff? You look at these things and you read like 270, 280 pages, 300 pages, and you ask, what is this? What exactly are you talking about here? The Holy Sefirot. What are you talking about? What do you mean? And these books, they're all talking about one thing. The people who are desperate, Jews, they're desperate for faith. They're desperate for emuna. They're chalishing to connect to God. But the people who are leading them, this the one particular person who's the biggest of all of them, who's the Rebbe of all of them, he knows better. Most of them don't know. He himself went to yeshivas, and his father was a big elichid, and so on. But most of them don't know. So they take him up to this high place, and they talk about all these grandiose things, these really, really esoteric things. And then they just, like, they drop him off at the moon, and then they go back to pick up some more customers. And these people are just stranded on the moon. Forget about the airport. They're stranded on the moon. And then they spend a lot like strumming guitars and talking about Shabbat get-togethers or something. Lighting, we're going to have a communal, we're going to light candles together and pray for the people in Haiti and stuff, you know. They're good people. They mean good. The vicious is, and the tragedy is, that as exciting and as beautiful, as breathtaking is the bigness of our faith, it's just as much, and in many ways even more, when you learn a Blad Gemara with Rashi and Tosfos, when we shine them, and go all the way through the Rambam, the Torah, Bis Yosef, Bach, Shulchan Aruch, to Mishnah Berurah, to Neir HaShulchan, to a Tshuva from Rav Moshe, and to live that life, the intricate, intricate, microscopic life of a Jew. We have a microscope and a telescope. People who are only given one of those kalim miss the boat. You can't just have a telescope. And you can't just have a microscope. You need both. The telescope tells you how big everything is. And the microscope tells you how small everything is. And only if you have both, you could be a yid. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. The goydel, ma godlu masech, ma kotnu masech. A person who is taken up to the mountain has to be brought down into the prote protim of what it means to be in a yeshiva, what it means to learn Torah, what it means to understand. And every single minhag, every single halach, every single din. And there's no question that because of the connection to the bigger picture and the excitement that the person has, that energy can now be brought and channeled into all the prate pratim of Avodas Hashem, all the details of Avodas Hashem. Or else you could spend the rest of your life on the moon. I don't know what that adds up to in the next world. The rest of your life on the moon, talking about God's holiness and about this firot and going to some shiurim, and sitting there being a Mechal Shabbos and Eichel Treifus and sitting there with clothing that are not kosher and living a life that's filled with tumah. And what does it mean? What does it mean? So you could also write one of those books about what it means to be close to God. On the other hand, a person who lives only with a microscope. We spoke already a lot about that over Eretz Teshuva and here. So if you only live in the world of the microscope and you have no connection at all to the bigger picture, there are many, many sicknesses that come from that, that are a big part of our firm world these days. We're suffering from both of these machlis. There are people that only have telescopes, there are people that only have microscopes, and they're trying to make a shidduch between these two. I don't mean between these two people. That's something else. I'm talking about within one person. That each person has to have these two things. To be big and small. To be big and small. You have that with everything. You have that. You don't have that with marriage. You don't have that with raising children. You could have parents that they're really, really good when it comes to the big stuff of being parents. Like the big stuff. You know. Birthdays, weddings, bar mitzvahs, stuff like that. Birthdays, bar mitzvahs, weddings, things like that, the big stuff. But when it comes to like homework, you know, after a long day of work, and sitting down with a kid, that's not their forte. So if they have enough money, then they try to hire different people to do these things. They don't understand that the main thing is not the math, the main thing is that you spent 15 minutes with your kid. They're very good with the magadlu when it comes to being parents, but not with the makotnu. They're very good with big fancy vacations, with big fancy homes, and they can't understand after all the years why the kids don't hold them in esteem and regard. How come my kid's not honoring me? My kid doesn't care for me. I bought them such big things. I took them on such big vacations. I gave them big, big things. I gave them a big room. I gave them a big iPod. I gave them a big car. I gave them everything big, big. I gave them this, all this stuff, and then look, my kid turned against me. My kid doesn't appreciate me. How much I did for my child. Ma godlu ma asai. How big were my acts of kindness for my child. And the kid could say, look, I appreciate that. And I'm sure that they come from love. But you missed out on a billion details that I needed you for. And you missed out. You missed out on the ma kotnu. On the kaitan. You missed out on when there's love. How every tiny thing is so important. You missed out on that. And how every tiny thing is filled with everything, like we were learning last week. Every detail of halacha is filled with everything. That's what it means when there's a relationship. So people like to be in these big romantic relationships, like we were talking about a little bit this morning. But then when it starts to get down to the nitty-gritty of like taking out the garbage and cleaning some kids' ears, so then it's time to leave. I'm out of here. When it gets to the makotnu, the magodlu, that's a machaya. That's a machaya. Walking in the sunset along the beach, holding hands, that shir shirim, right? From Megillas Rus, just schlepping and working hard, keeping mitzvahs, being an Eilei Chayim. So when it comes to parenting, and when it comes to a husband and wife, everybody wants that. It should be with that kind of that feeling of walking along the beach holding hands. But when it comes to the prate pratim of life, so people say, what do I need that for? The makotnu. Rav Kook is saying that a person should be as astonished by the beauty of the makotnu. As astonished by the beauty of the makotnu. What I used to find, how my mother was, she should be well, how my mother was, every tiny little thing that she was worried about with us, with the children and my father, so I used to find it like so unbelievably annoying, growing up. Like every single thing is like a big thing. You know, it can make you crazy. I think it did. So every little thing. But now I look with wonder. I really look with wonder, my mother. I look with wonder how she went into every, there wasn't any molecule of my life, of my sister's life, of my father's life, there's not a molecule that's not important. That could make things, of course, hard. But my kotnu ma'asecha, how tiny and small, every prat, every detail, how important it is. Not like the parents now, that they're very parents now, of course, they're running big corporations, and the woman has to make sure to stay underneath 118 pounds. You understand? They're very big in yonim, they're going on in the world. So we'll make sure, we'll have other people take care of the kids and raise them. I can't be bothered with some social studies homework. You understand? It's kleinigkeit. I can't be bothered with a kid that needs to be taken. So if you have enough money, you pay somebody. Take my kid to the park. Take my kid to the walk. Take my kid to the doctor. I can't be bothered with these things. But if the kid, God forbid, has chalila has a big machla, of course the mommy and daddy, of course, we're there for you, honey. But they're not there for them. They pay somebody to take care of the dvarim haktanim, of the small things in the child's life. This is a very, very big. This is a very big problem that the world is suffering from in a very terrible way now. The world is suffering from it very, very much. Very, very much. The godless, everybody can understand, but the katnus not. You see this all the time. They're not katnu masecha. The person who doesn't live with that, it's with everything. With marriage, children, friends, with everything. And that's what the tzaddik is saying. You see, b'chol prote proteh shel Torah, every single tiny detail of Torah. There are people that say, "I'm interested, like in the Ramchal, you know, I'm interested in the Maharal, I'm interested in the big things. Don't bother me with sneers." I'm sorry to say that word. I know it's like a word that usually the guys don't care. The women get uptight about it. Don't bother me with sneers. Why are you talking to me? What, the Torah cares about whether my toenails are showing? The Torah cares about how I dress? You betcha the Torah does. Just like your mother cares about how you dress. You understand? Because your mother loves you. Yeah, strangers don't care. That's why you can be very, very laid back with strangers. You understand? Dress any way you like, but with your own kid, you're not laid back. So if you're saying things like that, if you find yourself saying or thinking things like that, like what difference does it make how I dress? You're just missing the point. When it's your kid, it makes a difference. You're missing the point. The bigger it is, the more it descends into every tiny detail. The greater and bigger the love, the more everything makes a difference. The smaller the love, then only the big things make a difference. So you don't keep all the halachas. So what? You're not so careful with some things on Shabbos. A little bit like this, a little like that. Who's the oven? You push it over a little bit. Like this. A little bit, the muktzah, and there's different things. And when it comes to Yiddishkeit, so a little bit. With the clothing, an inch like this, an inch like that, well, God cares about how many inches my sleeves or my skirt are. God cares about that? You bet he does. And it's time we stop testing him, only to find out when we're 120 how much he cares about all these things. To stop playing games. He cares. And we live in a make-believe world with ourselves, with each other, with our children. Makotnu masecha Hashem. How tiny. Not tiny like something that's not connected to something big. Then it's tam nothing. That's tam narishkei. When it's something tiny that's connected to something big, it means it's a tiny part of a big thing. It's big. That's what he's saying. The whole prote prateh shel Torah. Shahagbolus hamaduyokus vehisrachavus hamisyaldus b'chol anaf, with all the unbelievable precision, the precision of all the and the of each of the details of Yiddishkeit, every tiny halacha is magnificent. Like l'havdil, when you open up an atom, you look, it's unbelievable what's going on inside of this. Any halacha that you and I take, any halacha, take to learn, whatever, Parshas Kedoshim is Rav Gufei Torah Tluyim Bo. Parshas Rav Achrimas Kedoshim, take one of the mitzvahs, take the Inyan of Orloch. Take one mitzvah from the parsha. Your whole life you could spend, not one life, you could become, on that Inyan you could write 100 svarim and sit your whole life on one prat in Hilchos, in those halachas. And how everything goes together, everything is perfect. Hagbolas and Mediokas, the careful, the precision, like the borders and boundaries of everything, is Sarachavus, and then how everything expands, and Mesialdus, Bechol, and Nafanah, that comes out from every branch of learning, every how each branch of Torah comes to something else, to something else, to something else. Ha'hoylech mispatzel, la'olavi and kaisav, that goes and divides off into the leaves and to the offshoots. Ein lahem shir. Ein lahem shir. Chaim Kanievsky wrote a whole huge sefer on Egla Rufa. We have a vague picture of what that means. You came across it in the parasha when you're learning, and then a little bit here and there you might have come across it, and you're wondering. But Chaim Kanievsky sits there and writes two columns on a page, 400 pages on Egla Rufa. Wow, that's the most magnificent work of art. If you go to a museum and they have their choshuva masterpieces from very, very big famous artists, so a person that doesn't understand looks at it and he says, oh, that's, yes, what do you see? He says, oh, no, that's some lady over there in the picture. So they're telling you, know, this, you never heard of the Mona Lisa? No. What? I'm supposed to know her or something? I don't know. Her. No, this is a famous thing. It's a Da Vinci, you could light up a whole New York City with how much this thing is worth. So the person that doesn't understand, that doesn't know art, says, no, it's a lady. It's not particularly beautiful either. So, I don't know, it's a lady. So then the person who's studying art his whole life, is a big, big bucky, is a big mumche, says, what are you talking about? Come over here. And they don't let you get too close, you understand? And then you start to... I brought them and to show you, and they say, wow, oh, you're talking. I didn't know. And they start to explain. Ooh. Same thing when it comes to a piece of... it's only a marshal talking about. When it comes to a poem, see, you hear a poem from... You read a couple of sentences, you see something, whatever, from John Milton, Paradise Lost. You read a few sentences, say... I don't know, maybe one of them a little English, he talks strange. I don't know, that's funny, what kind of English is that? And then you have a professor that says, well, I want to explain to you. He said, ooh, that's pretty good. And you go into the prate, you understand. I remember when I told this to you once, that years ago, I was in a museum many years ago, and there was a place there of modern art, which I never had any kind of a heritage for that. Modern art. And I remember that, I'm telling you this is something that happened, that there was we came to a room there, and there was a famous guy that had a whole exhibition from this famous guy, I don't remember his name, and it was my wife, and there was a thing, a canvas, and it had really looked to me, if I didn't know better, I would have gone over. I thought that it was like something that was on there, and if they would have let me, I would have gone there like to try to get it off. I wasn't sure what it was. There was a big canvas, and there was something on it. I don't know what it looked like. And there was like a rope over there, you know, and lights, and the whole thing. And it looked to me like there was a fly on a blank canvas or something. With a hole. And there were certain different shades of the canvas, and with like a thing on it. And there was a teacher there with a class. And the teacher is giving a schmooze, and the students are all sitting around there, like, writing notes. And I'm trying to look in there to see what this guy, what are you writing over there? I want to see what is this over here? So I said, I said to my wife, what is this guy? I'm getting out of here, crazy Nairish guy. So my wife says to me, it's not Nairish guy, it's just you're total Amaritz. And she's right. She says, I also don't know this thing, but you think there's Nairish guy? There's something to this. You just don't know anything about art. The same guy that made that bug could also paint other stuff. Because I say, right, the first thing I said to my is, I can do that too. You know, you go, you throw something onto the... You see these paintings, you take something, you just throw it onto the canvas. So, but all those guys could also paint regular stuff too. They could paint, like, bridges and people, you know. We can only do stuff like that. But they could do other stuff. But there's a chokhmah to it. And not only is there a chokhmah to it, then they start with the different, with the shades and the different colors. I don't understand these things. But there's makot numasacha. That's only a marshal of what? Of some narishkeit, of some physical painting. But the katnus, the beauty of the protim are so beautiful, are so beautiful.
Even though your natural inclination, of course, you're more drawn to the bigger things, because everybody is. I mean, most people are to the bigger, bigger things, and to think about big things, and what? And the expansive, big, big general principles and concepts and ideas and philosophy and all of that. But yinam loy, but it'll be so pleasant for you, lasik b'tayr l'shma b'diyuke proteh pa'ach. You have the same geshmak, that same person that loves and is inclined towards these big things, he delights in going back into the Gemara, and back into that Tosius, and back into every tiny little detail. The yalla biyodu b'chaveris, and he's able to come out with a lot of chaveris, joining together. Dover godl, the dover cotton. The biggest stuff, and the smallest stuff. Dover godl ma'isim akava. And he ends, as usual, in the most remarkable way. We should just have 1 second to talk about Dover Godel. The Gemara says, in Sukkah, Dover Godel, Ma'isem HaKova. The Dover Cotton, Havayis Dabai Verova. The Gemara there is talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it says, La'iniach Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, V'halochis. It says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, there wasn't a Mikra, there wasn't a Pasuk, there wasn't a Mishnah, there wasn't a Gemara, there wasn't anything Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know. The Gemara's going on about that. And the Gemara says over there that Imamish, he knew everything. He knew Sichas Malach Hasharis. He understood the language, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai understood the language of angels when they spoke to each other. And he understood Sichas the Kol, he knew in the trees, he understood what the trees were saying. And then the Gemara says he knew what? He knew Dover Godel and Dover Cotton. Everything big and everything small. So he was Dover Godel and was Dover Cotton. What does that mean? He knew the big things, he knew the small things. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So the answer is, Dover Godel is Ma'aseh Merkava. The big picture, that's the workings of the chariot in the book of Yechezkel, the whole creation, Kabbalah, Sisrei Torah, the secrets of Torah, Ma'aseh Merkava. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Ma'aseh Merkava. Dover Cotton, Havayis Dabai Rava. What does it mean, Dover Cotton? It means all of the intricate details of the arguments between Abaye and Rava, the Lomdus and Shas. That's the Dover Cotton. And what was the greatness of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai? That he knew Kol HaTorah Kula, Dover Godel, V'Dover Cotton. The big picture, the telescope, he had in one hand, and he had in his other hand, he had the microscope. And there was no contradiction, there was nothing. Those two worlds were Hayul Achodim V'Yadecha. Those two Kalim, those two worlds were one in the hands of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. You know why? Because he was a great person. Small people can either only be interested in the biggest things or in the smallest things. Big people are interested in small things and big things. That's what it is. Small people are only interested in the big stuff, or they're only interested in the small stuff. Big people want everything. Everything. The whole thing. And every little thing is filled with the sweetness, the aroma, the fragrance of the whole picture. That's what it means to be a big person. And that's the frame of mind when we're learning big things in Torah, Dava Gal, and we're learning Dava Kotten, we're learning the Prote Protein of Yiddishkeit. We'll finish the parak next week, Mitzvah Shem, of Good Shabbos.